The Real Estate Revolution Radio Show is designed to educate Missoula homeowners and home buyers how to navigate the uncharted waters of the current Western Montana real estate market in an educational, often edgy, and high-energy fashion with host Jason Baker. Jason will teach you all the secrets on how to win with real estate, from listing your property to purchasing investments. Jason has you covered. Be sure to check the home of the week, the good news, and current market updates each week. Jason is revolutionizing the real estate experience for over 100 clients a year.
Happy Sunday, my friend. How are things?
Happy Sunday, buddy. They are so good. You know, this last week, we're going to do 3 or 4 minutes with no before the commercial break. We have these amazing guys back from Accruent, right? And They were talking about 1031s and everything like that. But I had a conversation with someone this week, since it's Sunday, you know, little Jesus Day, you know, and then, or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. But I'm doing me a little Jesus. But yeah. I got, back in 2013, I had someone in my office the other day, just a great person. And she was sad. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I have negative self-talk. So I said, negative self-talk. And I said, what does that mean? Are you telling yourself that you're not good enough, or that you're this or that? She's like, yeah, I just, everything that I think about myself just isn't really good. And I said, okay, I got shot in 2013, and for 2 years after that, I was completely messed up individual.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I said, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I looked her right in her eyes and I said, look, you're so valuable to the fabric of everything. And she is. Mm-hmm. And but I can't make her believe that. So I gave her some exercises to do throughout the week. Okay. And I know we're short on time, and I know we got these amazing guys, and they're like, what is Jason talking about? I thought this was a real estate show. But I told her to write down 3 things that she was grateful for. Do you know, KC, if you're grateful for 3 things, you can't be grateful and pissed all at the same time.
You can't be mad.
You can't be grateful and ungrateful at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not possible. So when you're in that gratitude, you're going to be happy. And second thing, write down 3 short-term goals, 3 long-term goals.
Okay.
Okay. Those always end up after the gratitude exercise being really, really positive.
Yeah.
And a lot of thought should go into that. And if these change on the daily, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, have a destination.
Mm-hmm.
That's number 2.
Okay.
Number 3, write down 3 things that you completed over the last 24 or 48 hours that you did not congratulate yourself for, that you should.
Okay.
Do you realize that people never, ever give themselves credit for anything?
Yeah.
Being nice to that person, holding the door, mm-hmm. not choking on breakfast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
waking
that kind
up.
Of thing. Yeah. Not getting coffee grinds, you know, fall outside the filter and going to your cup like you did this weekend for me. Yeah. So, but realistically, write down some personal successes and then write down 1 thing you accomplished today. What's your 1 thing you're going to do no matter what? And she's going to do that for me. I'm going to report back on how she
does. See how it works?
I wanted to just kind of throw that out there.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to email you that right there.
I need to give myself a good old POB.
I think the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're all here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to take it easy on ourselves. And I think we need to chill out.
Yeah.
And I think you need to know and just keep telling ourselves that everything's going to be okay no matter what. Over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. You know what?
Yeah.
One of my long-term goals is to generate generational wealth.
You're going to do that.
And I know that we're going to be talking with our buddies from Accruent here.
Yes.
In just a minute, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
I love it.
And be back with more Real Estate Revolution Radio with Jason Baker. Don't go anywhere.
All right.
Hey, if you're even thinking of selling your home, well, you need to know all of your options. That's why there is one source that I look to for the best advice in the local real estate market. I'm talking about Jason Baker of Rise Realty Montana. What's the latest news in real estate?
Sean, the good news is, when you have great marketing, what's happening in the market doesn't matter that much. That said, we're seeing rising interest rates that has removed approximately 30% of the buyers from the market, and that's going to continue.
How does that impact sellers today?
Simply put, this is the last chance to sell, I believe, for top dollar. Less buyers means less showings, less offers over asking price, and we can still help get you over asking price with our amazing marketing.
All right, as always, thanks for the insight. He knows how to cut through all of the talk and to give you accurate information. So call the agent I recommend. Call Jason at 552-4443. That's 552-4443. Online, jasonbakerteam.com. That's jasonbakerteam.com.
From listing your property to purchasing investments, Jason Baker has got you covered. Time for more of the Real Estate Revolution Show.
Welcome back to Real Estate Revolution Radio with Jason Baker. Jason, today we're talking about how much we enjoy paying taxes.
This is part two of why we love to pay the man.
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you see the deal about the Mega Millions winner, how that after taxes, they end up with $733 million or something like that.
Did someone win?
Yeah. Yes, someone won in Illinois, a sole winner in Illinois.
It wasn't me.
But listen, I love the best part when it says $1.3 billion after taxes, they get $733 million. And it said, congratulations to the IRS for winning $800-some-odd million.
The IRS won more. Yeah. How does that even work?
Congratulations, Uncle Sam.
Oh, my gosh. I know. And they spend everything. They're super fiscally conservative.
Fiscally conservative.
You know, all right, that's another show. We're going to have to.
But we do have special guests back. They joined us yet again this weekend to discuss the 1031s.
Back and, for more punishment.
Yeah, and explain to us how we're going to make that generational wealth.
When we were last week, when we finished off, for those just tuning in, we were talking about a 1031, what it is, and you can go on to, you can Google the on-demand. Where do they, if they want to listen to last week's episode, how do they?
NewstalkKGVO.com.
That's right. Yeah. And click on on-demand, and you'll see Real Estate Revolution. Mm-hmm. Total listeners, one. I think it was my mom. That's right. Yeah. And but we were talking about how do we build generational wealth through some tax, through tax deferment through 1031. And the properties, basically, if it's not and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, if it's not your personal, your primary residence, your personal residence, it basically could be deferred. So introduce yourselves again, gentlemen, and then let's get into how we continue to build generational wealth and talk more about 1031s.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate it. My name is Max Hansen. I'm an attorney. I've worked with a company called Accruid LLC, headquartered out of Denver, but I've been in Dillon almost my entire life. I spent, was born and raised on a ranch southwest of Dillon, and then ended up, went to high school up in Kalispell. So went to Carroll College for my undergraduate, and then went to law school, came back to Montana in 76. Been doing exchanges since 1978, helping people defer taxes that whole time. I sold my exchange company to Accruid in 2018, and I've been with them now for 4 years, along with some of the employees that came over with me. And one of those employees is the new guy on the block, Jonathan Barch. He works out of our office in Bozeman. Jonathan, you can tell him a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, gentlemen. Prior to joining Accruid, I was about 20 years in public service. I was in the United States Air Force, and then I worked with the Bozeman Police Department. Went to undergrad here in Bozeman at MSU, and then attended law school after I left the force over there in the beautiful city of Missoula. And I've been on with Accruid on board here, working with Max, learning the ropes 1031 ever since kind of the beginning of this year. And it's been a blast, and it's great to be on board here and help educate folks on Section 1031 and how that can be a useful tool for wealth generation.
When you were at law school, were you? And this question might be more for Max, but since you were more recently there, you could chime in too. If you had a wife and you wanted to live in Dillon, and you currently lived in Florence.
Are you doing this?
Hypothetically speaking, and we're not talking about Sarah here. How could we convince her, to let you move to Dillon? Like, do you have any tips for me, like in negotiating 101?
This is Max, and I've had a number of associates that came in here, and they were all excited because the fishing was great, the hunting was great, snowmobiling was great, skiing was great, no crowds, and unfortunately, the their better halves decided that there was better places to live than Dillon, Montana.
That's right. And if you're from out of state, Dillon is the worst place in the world to live if you're from out of state, especially one of the coasts. Okay, do not move to Dillon, please. Don't do that. No.
Yep, that's right. No, the grizzly bears here roaming the streets of downtown Dillon will eat you in a heartbeat.
Not to mention the rattlesnakes.
That's exactly right. And more people get gored by bison in downtown Dillon than anywhere else. That's for sure. Or they get eaten by beavers. That's right. So, but we love Dillon, and we spend a lot of time there. And the wind, you got to get used to the wind, and that's for sure. And you got to get used to the cold. no doubt. Well, back to 1031s, all jokes aside. And again, thank you both for being here. Again, thank you for your service, sir. Air Force and Bozeman Police Department. I lived there from 02 to 09, and I've never been in handcuffs, but I was close a few times. Okay, so anyway, what do we so, and they can watch the past shows just to kind of catch up where we were last week. But what do you need to do in order, so you're like, all right, I got a property, I think it qualifies. Like, what's the general process that someone has to go through in order to initiate a 1031? And then maybe after that, like, why can we do it on our own, and can, like, or do we have to use a company to do it? So maybe those two things. Yeah.
Right. That's a great question. So yeah, the code outlines
specific. That's Jonathan talking.
Yeah, nice. This is Jonathan here.
What's up, Jonathan?
So the code outlines the specific provisions for, you know, engaging a qualified intermediary. And so that's what we do. Okay. Cause you can't have, when you sell a property, you can't go to closing and take possession of those funds. Can't have constructive receipt. Cause essentially, you know, the background here is that, you know, when this code was designed, like we talked about earlier in the last episode, you know, in 1921, it was designed for, you know, swapping deeds among, you know, different investors. So this is, if there's any kind of, cash obtained or proceeds obtained from the sale by the seller, then, you know, that exchange is disallowed. So you have to engage a qualified intermediary to avoid that constructive receipt rule. And that's what we do here at Accruent.
Yeah.
So when you've decided that you've got this property, you've been holding it for investment and it qualifies, and you say, hey, you know, I don't want to pay the capital gains on this transaction. I want to, you know, engage in a 1031 and report this next year on my IRS Form 8824. Well, you engage us and there's an exchange agreement that we have you sign, and then we also put out a notice of assignment, so the seller or the buyer gets notice that we basically step into the shoes of the taxpayer of the client. So we take assignment of that contract, and then we show up to the closing table under that assignment, and we then hold the funds, that you know, the net proceeds from that sale, in an exchange account under, you know, the segregated account under that taxpayer ID number. And we sit there and we wait until the client's found replacement property that they want to acquire as part of their exchange.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, there's some rules and some timing rules and things like that we could get into. But
yeah,
that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it.
Roll right into that, because the number one question I get from clients is like, Jason, when do I start the 1031 process? What kind of property do I have? Does it have to be the same exact property? Does it have to? And then how long do I have? And then how long do I have to find it? How long do I have to close? Like, let's touch on some of those basics and just kind of get, like, you know, the myths off the table here and give them the facts.
Okay, this is Max, and so what will end up happening, as Jonathan said, we get a, when you get a property under contract to sell, your relinquished property is under contract to sell, we step into your shoes at closing, we receive the funds, and if that's the magic date. The date of closing is the magic date that starts the exchange period. And the taxpayer has from 45 days from the date of closing on their relinquished property to identify replacement property, and they have 180 days from that closing date to actually acquire what they identified in the identification process. There are some identification rules. You know, the taxpayer can identify up to three different properties, and we always tell people, hey, even if you think you've narrowed it down to one property,
right,
always identify a couple more properties as backups. Because you never know if that first one's going to fall off the market for any number of reasons. The seller walks, whatever happens. You don't want to be caught flat-footed, because once you're out past the 45th day as the taxpayer or the exchanger, you cannot then, you know, identify any additional properties.
Geez.
So we always tell people to do the backup. And they can actually identify more than three properties. It's just that if they identify four, five, or six properties, the aggregate value of those properties cannot exceed 200% of the sale price. So if a taxpayer sells a property for $250,000, you know, they could identify four properties as long as the aggregate value is not more than $500,000, which is 200% of 250, okay?
Yeah.
And there's some other more obtuse rules that come into play, but we're not going to get into that today.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the three property rule, the 200% rule. You know, and so, you know, the taxpayer then has 180 days from the date of closing to actually close on the replacement property. And sometimes it takes that long.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's a practical tip is that, you know, even if you've got a property under contract to sell, you're not going to close for 45 days. It's really good for taxpayers to be out there in front of the that closing, trying to nail something down and maybe even get something under contract as a replacement property before they close on their relinquished property, because inventories are still pretty tight right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
There's not a lot of property out there on the market, and it's really important for them to get ahead of the stay ahead of the game, because that 45 days goes by really quickly. Take it from me.
Unless it's the 45 days before hunting season. And then it's like the slowest 45 days of the whole entire year. It just drags on. Like, oh, gosh. I just found out that I don't fly in until 12:30 before opening day. I get in at 12:30 a.m. of the opening day of duck season from a training wet. So how am I going to get out of that?
Yeah, my mom always said you can sleep when you're dead.
I have to drive over to Dillon. I mean, the hunting's terrible in Dillon. So anyway, So the 45 days, so that's an important date. So the 45 days, the 180 days, and I heard you say it could be up to three properties or three areas or three.
Three different properties. Okay. I mean, you can identify up to three properties or more than three. So say if somebody sells a property for $500,000, they could identify four properties as long as the total value of those properties is not more than $1 million. Okay.
Yeah.
Which gives them more latitude if they're wanting to diversify. So a lot of times people will end up exchanging out of one property and they'll acquire, you know, one, two, three, maybe four different properties as replacement properties. Likewise, you can exchange out of a number of different relinquished properties and only acquire one property. So you can consolidate all the exchange funds from four different sales and just acquire one much larger property.
Wow.
Jonathan, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, what people do as far as diversifying in property types and look at different geographical locations.
That would be great, too. And then what happens if you're like me and with everything and you kind of wait till the last minute and then it does, is there like, and you have that, oh, you know what moment, is there anything else besides, like what happens? So after 45 days, you're messed up. Is there any like last minute things you can do to either extend this or put it into something else if by chance, like for whatever reason, all three of those properties or four of those properties or whatever, just like they just fall out for whatever reason, you know, is there any like fail safe or parachute there?
No, there really isn't. That 45 days is a hard deadline that the IRS sets out. And I think that's, you know, there's a couple different underlying policy reasons that it's in the code.
Yeah.
But primarily, too, I think is to keep it within a single tax reporting period. And it's also to kind of light the fire a little bit.
Okay.
And, your exchange can be disallowed if you play around with the identification rules and you get audited and it turns out that that's not truly what you identified prior to day 45.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other portions, you know, components of these rules also relate to, you know, say, like we've talked about right now, the one thing that I also tell clients is, look, 45 days comes fast. And like Max mentioned as well, if you've got your property under contract and you've got a closing date, you can go out there and start hunting for a replacement property prior to your closing date. So that kind of extends that window.
You could really have 90 days or so.
And it's an option contract is one way to look at it a little bit and say, hey, you know what? Even though the market's tight, I'm going to take this option contract that I can try and defer, and then I'm going to give myself this 45 days plus that additional time to try to find a replacement property. And at least you took the shot at, you know, it's a small fee to pay when you look at a possible deferral of, $350,000, $80,000 in capital gains tax that you may be, out, given, the event that you don't, try to engage in a 1031 transaction. But so that's one way of kind of treating a 1031 exchange and looking at that 45-day period is saying, at least I'm going to give it a shot and try to find something right now. There's a lot of off-market stuff. There's a lot of hip pocket type properties. There's neighbor contracts, handshake agreement type stuff that can be done. So
All of my listings are for sale, like right now, like all of my listings, just 1031 right into them, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we can do that today. We can help you quickly. We got the two guys on the phone. You got me. Casey will let me out of the studio eventually. We'll get this done for you. That's amazing. I want to know more. I had a client, a gentleman, that, and thank you. I don't want to say their name on air, but that used you guys and just couldn't say enough through Lisa. And had a great experience, and I don't know what I should follow up to see if they ever did anything, but they were so grateful that, you know, they responded to very quickly, and it wasn't something that they had to go hunt down. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your company and kind of what sets you apart and all of that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is Max. One of the things that I was going to say, you know, we talk a lot about different rules and deadlines and all that stuff. I think the beauty of having a qualified intermediary company involved in it is not only the fact that that it's required by the code section that you'd have this independent third party that's, you know, holding the money. So basically the taxpayer is just swapping property A, the relinquished property for the replacement properties.
Yeah.
They never got the money in the interim. And that's why it's a tax deferred exchange. That's why there's no tax payable at that time on that deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say that, you know, in 91, I started my own exchange company. I'd been working with clients prior to that from 78 through 91 that were doing 1031 exchanges. But the law was really not well settled on how they were done. And the only qualified intermediary companies that were out there, they were called facilitators at that time, were on the West Coast. And there were none in the Rocky Mountain region. So I formed American Equity Exchange. And I got to know a lot of the other companies, you know, around the company that were doing exchanges. And that number kept growing. And one of those companies was Accruit. And I worked with my boss, Brent Abram, who was the CEO of Accruit. Accruit was involved a lot of personal property exchanges, fleet exchanges with Avis, Hertz, Budget, Enterprise. All those different car companies were doing 1031 exchanges on their rental fleets.
Right.
And in 2017, Congress did away with 1031 exchanges for personal property, livestock, aircraft, cars, trucks, et cetera, which I did too. And Accruit wanted to enlarge its real estate portion of its business. And we ended up talking. We had been joking over the years about forming that alliance. And finally, in 2018, we pulled the trigger on that. And I've been with him ever since. The cool thing about Accruit, we're headquartered out of Denver. Obviously, we've got Jonathan and me working in Montana, the whole Rocky Mountain region. I basically cover I-15, you know, from Canada to California.
Yeah.
And, but we've got people all over the country. We've got three other attorneys that are working with Accruit. And that's all we do is just, you know, trying to figure out ways to, you know, to meet the requirements of 1031s. We've got a staff. We've got, you know, roughly 20, 30 people now that are working with Accruit. Dallas, Fort Worth, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, some great client service professionals that know their stuff. We have a program called Exchange Manager, which is a web-based app that we use now to document the exchanges. And all that's done, you know, online with our client service coordinators.
Nice.
So that the title companies aren't juggling around a bunch of paper for the exchange portion of the deal when the closings take place on relinquished or replacement properties. That's already been taken care of, you know, between the client service coordinator and our client.
Yeah.
I know that based upon the three people that were my employees prior that have been with me and working with me now for over 20 years, Lisa has been a friend and we've talked about Lisa, but she came on with us here about a year ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, each one of those people, you know, using Exchange Manager, you know, has been just a godsend for them because the amount of volumes that we handle, they're able to handle it easily with that program. Yeah. And nobody else in the business has it. It's nobody else in the United States has
tech-enabled businesses. We all make fun of tech, and you know, most of the time we just have to ask people if their computer's on. But the fact is that it really does help organize things, and especially with these deadlines. I can imagine just how the communication and the transparency and everything else, how that could really play a role there. But nothing beats good old-fashioned awesome humans. And,
I'll tell you this, Jason. I mean, I'm a dinosaur. You know, I've already given away my age if you start doing the math. You know, I was born in the old Barrett Hospital here in Dillon in 1949. And if a guy like me, you know, who practiced law for 45 years now, can get on his computer and do the things that I'm doing right now with Exchange Manager and just the other software that we have available to us, I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it, especially these young guys like Jonathan, just so sharp coming out of law school and then having the IT capability at the same time. I mean, man, there's no comparison.
I think it's so awesome, Jonathan, that you did the Air Force and then you're like, oh, you forget it. I'm going back to school. I'm going to become an attorney. And I think that I love to see that kind of thing, and I love to see people constantly trying to get better, brother. So great job there. That's great. I love it. Oh, and then, Max, when I come to Dillon next time, we got to go have a hamburger. Or I got to get a haystack burger over Papa T's, baby. I can go over there and eat. And I'm telling you.
Either that or I'll cook you one down at my place. I got a place just south of Dillon here.
Oh, I would love
down
that.
Down by the Beaverhead River, Poindexter.
Oh, yeah.
Slough. It's really a spring creek, but we call it the Slough.
Yeah,
but I'll let you sit there on my deck and I'll cook you a burger. Jonathan will be here too. Probably we can get him to come.
I would love that.
Can I come too?
No, you're not invited. But I'll tell you how good that burger was.
Come on, guys.
Casey, you can come down. You're only 2.5 hours away, man.
I fit easily in most overhead compartments.
I could tell. He said Poindexter Slough. I said duck hunting. I started drooling right on the microphone here.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. Yeah. My gosh. But it was. There's just something special about there. We are truly looking for a home there, a second home or an investment home there. So if you hear of anything.
Okay, well, I'll keep my ear to the ground.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, yeah. So what are some other stuff, like a lot of real estate agents listen to this show. I don't know if it's because they're like throwing things at the microphone, pretending that there's a picture of me on it or something like that, or like kicking the radio when they hear my voice. But is there's some cool stuff that real estate agents should know? How are we doing on time, Casey? Are we okay?
We're getting near the end of the show.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, like for real estate agents, like what are some things real estate agents should do or look at, or some resources maybe on your website that they can go read about or whatnot?
I'd say the first thing is we talk a lot about the rules and everything. We've got an 800 number on our website. The website's www.accruit.com, accruit.com. I mean, there's a whole wealth of information on there, but there's an 800 number too, 800-237-1031. And you'll be able to click on there and get our contact information too, Jonathan and mine.
Yeah.
So if real estate people have any questions, you know, they can always contact us. We're getting calls constantly or emails from real estate brokers.
Yeah.
And I love talking to real estate brokers. One of the first tips that I give real estate brokers is, aside from, you know, getting in touch with us, if you've got a client that's got some fairly complicated tax issues, depreciation issues, that type of thing, make sure that client gets in touch with their CPA before they sign a buy-sell agreement.
Yep.
And that CPA knows what they're doing and can do some advanced planning for depreciation recapture issues and that type of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times accountants don't know until after the deal is done, because the client's just been in touch with their realtor and maybe their attorney, but more than likely, you know, especially in Montana and other places in the Rocky Mountain region, you know, the realtors are the frontline people, you know? And that's why Jonathan and I love doing webinars or even in-person deals for real estate offices, where the whole team can be there. We can give them a 1-hour presentation just to outline some of the issues that they're going to run into on these 1031 deals.
We're going to all be down there on Labor Day weekend going to that Kip Moore concert there and the rodeo as well. So, you know, maybe, you know, for a business write-off, you know, maybe we'll have an hour with Max.
Go ahead and give me a quick seminar so I can write this trip off.
Exactly. Hey. This is sounding better and better, which is great. So,
well, unfortunately, guys, we are out of time. Too. We are out of time today, but I appreciate you guys joining us yet again this weekend. It was a very I learned a lot.
My brain is smoking, but that's nothing new.
The gerbil in my brain right now is exhausted. But I want to say thanks again for joining us. And if you missed our previous episode, we do have that up on demand. Also, this episode, if you missed anything or you want to learn more, listen to it again. Yeah. Take notes this time.
That's right.
You can find it on demand at newstalkkgbo.com. Guys, thanks again for joining us. And Jason, as always, I'll see you next Sunday.
Let's do it.